Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study show, so we're going to have a whole lot of fun. And another thing for this week is I promise not to melt your brain this week, because we're going to talk about somewhat normal things, but I do like those wild things that actually prove the existence of God beyond recognition. But as always, we have our co-host, J.D. Williams. J.D., welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's good to be here. And like I always tell you when we first start, I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut. And you know how well that works. So,
I think that's just kind of a tagline. I don't think you really mean that.
I don't. I just ask stupid questions, and you always give me the right answer. So, anyway, sir, I'm not going to hold you up. I just want to get right to it, because we really do need to get into our weekly comprehensive Bible study with Bible prophecy teacher and scholar, Mr. David Paxton. One quick thing. If you have not subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, make sure that you hit that subscribe button, hit the little bell, let them know whenever a new video appears out there. And, of course, leave your comments. It really helps us out. YouTube is our smallest outlet. We want to see it grow. So with that, David, it is now all yours, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's make that happen. Okay, so let's start at the beginning again. Genesis 1. Verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light." Okay, so we talked about it before, where it's that is the English rendition of it, but it's slightly different in the Hebrew. And it's more like, while God was beginning to create the heavens and the earth and everything, as he was making it, it was formless and void. So it has a picture of him making it. And how did he do that? Well, he said, let there be light. And that's what created everything. That's what gave everything substance. And then the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, or the deep. So we saw in there basically two concepts of chaos and order. So it shows before everything was created, it was just chaos. And we see that in from darkness to light. That's why he says the evening was there the first day and all. And then he said, you know, the darkness he called night, the light he called day. And even the terms ever and boker are terms that mean basically there was chaos and there was order in the original, but it came to mean evening and then morning because of the implications that they had. So it's really interesting. But what I wanted to do is switch over and actually talk about some other insights that I found with other commentaries, because it's always good to look. And this is how you learn these things, and you get little bits and pieces from all over the place. I have a Bible study program called it's PC Study Bible. Bible Soft makes it, and it's a little bit older, but it still has all the stuff in it that I had before, but it's so incredible. But unfortunately, they stopped making it, I think. So maybe they'll come back and make it again. But you can go to BibleSoft.com and see if they still have it. But there's other ones that are out there. There's Logos and Word, and the Blue Letter Bible is phenomenal, where you can actually look up these things. So that's what I use. And when I find a verse, I'll do what's called the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And what that does, it actually brings up anything that's related to the content in that verse. All right. So if it's talking about the deep, all right, so I'll go in there and click on the word the deep. It'll bring up a handful of verses that are also talking about the deep, whether it is the actual word the deep or just the concept and the topic. So it's basically a topical study. And that's very helpful, because sometimes the exact word is not in there. So when you use a concordance, you don't always find the verses. But the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is like having a chain reference Bible sitting in front of you, except the computer does it, and it'll go right through everything and give you the entire list. So along with that, I could just click on the verse and say, give me all the commentaries that I have which have this verse in it.
Wow.
I can't tell you how wonderful that is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
you and I back in the day, I mean, remember that Strong's Concordance? It was like this big. It was like a cinder block.
I've still got a couple. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was like the man when I got that. And then I got the Interlinear Bible. Man, I treated that thing like it was gold. You open it up and it had all the Hebrew in it. Now it's like it's all over the place. Oh, yeah, it's on my phone. All right.
Yeah, I'm waiting on, what is that, YouVersion or whatever? I've got that.
Yeah, the YouVersion?
Yeah.
They're getting better and better.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it to come out with something like that. It hadn't yet. And the same thing with Bible Gateway.
I don't know if YouVersion is going to do that. I think their whole MO is to make it easy to access for people, where I am the nerd and I have to find out everything. And that's why the Blue Letter Bible comes in handy. And it's like $1,200 for this program. And because it has so much in it and it's so tied together, because you're literally buying those books.
Yeah.
I have over 1,000 books, which it will instantly search for any topic you're looking for and bring up all the references, which saves, oh my goodness, you don't know how much time.
Okay. Well, I've got to ask you something right off the top here. Why did, we've been on this study now for a while, you know, and we've been on Genesis 1:1, 1:2 for a while. Mm-hmm. When and why did, was the change made from the original text that has all this stuff, and you know, and you've gone through it. I mean, you know, step by step, exactly the way this is laid out. Why didn't that make it in the Bible that we see today? Do you have an answer for that, or is it just really laziness or what?
Kind of. I mean, when you ever heard the term lost in translation?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, but this is what happens. Everything gets lost in translation, and someone tries to make a quick version, and they don't really parse it out that well. But when you go back, and he's like, Paul was incredible. How did he find the rapture in the Old Testament?
Yeah,
he's like, oh yeah, here it is. And that's exactly what he does.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. You know, but that's just from years and years of study, and then studying other Gamaliel.
Okay.
And just being a Pharisee of Pharisees, basically, he just lived in the books.
Right, right.
Which is really what we're supposed to do. That's what I'd be doing today, too.
Yeah, I just fixed to say that is exactly what God says we should do, is make sure we read that Bible every day. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and in looking, he actually found that his forefather, Benjamin, wrote in his prophecy, check this out. So all the 12 patriarch fathers of sons of Jacob wrote prophecies for their lineage. Okay. Benjamin wrote specifically that one of his sons, when the Messiah comes, will be the apostle for the Gentiles.
Okay.
That's precisely why Paul says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
But he wouldn't have known that if he didn't read it.
Right. You're right on that. Oops.
So
go ahead.
That's where Paul is, and that's where they were back then. So the translations got lost over the years. And I start to think of William Tyndale was the first guy to translate it into English, and he got the whole New Testament done. And then he was partially through the Old Testament. And then they decided, oh, you translate into English, we're going to have to kill you. So they burned him at the stake. He was executed for translating the Bible into English.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So then,
just out of curiosity, what was so bad about that? I just don't understand.
Well, they didn't want it. You got to remember, the church all through history, and I'm going to pull some of this up too, all through history wanted to be in control. Ever since the Nicene Council, they really didn't want the people to know what the truth was.
Mm.
They told people, like, oh, yeah, you have to give all your money to the church if you want to be saved. And meanwhile, you know, they're living large and laughing easy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They would make up doctrines. They would sell indulgences. They would they would say, oh, you have to come to the priest, because they wanted to know all the juicy gossip that was going around town. Blackmail you. So all these things, if you had it translated into a language the people could read, would destroy their false kingdom, okay, their false church that they had. And you can read all about the churches in the book of Revelation.
And that's another example of every time somebody tries to stop the Word of God wins out.
Correct. Because then from there, a couple of his buddies, Cloverdale and Matthews, I think, yeah, they took what he had and they went and finished it. So a few years later, where it's really cool. Let me see. Here we got the Tyndale was 1534. Cloverdale was 1535. So I was like, oh, you're going to burn my buddy? I'm going to finish it for him. Then Matthews came out in 1537. And then they put it all together and they called it the Great Bible in 1539.
Okay.
Okay. Now it was starting to get out there and the Bible was like, okay, the people are starting to read this. Mm-hmm. And then they made the Geneva Bible in 1560.
Mm-hmm.
And so like real quick succession. And what happened is, remember King Henry VIII? Henry VIII, I am, I am.
I read about him in history. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So you weren't around back then. That's good.
Yeah.
So Henry VIII is like, we need to make an authorized version because you guys have too many versions and trying to control things. So Henry VIII, he made the authorized version called the Bishop's Bible. And then they used that. Or was that the Great Bible?
Okay.
So he used that, and then the Catholic end of the church, because some of the people in England were still Catholic, some of them were Protestant, and a lot of them were Calvinists. Mm-hmm. So they're all arguing. So King Jimmy comes along, and he's a little late in the loafers to begin with, if you know what I mean. So Jimmy's there. He writes a book on demonology. So for all you who love your King James Version, go get his book on demons. And then tell me how anointed and inspired the King James is. But anyway, so he's like, okay, everybody get everything together, but I want to make my own version so he can be the wonderful king that came out with the authorized version. It was literally the only version they were allowed to read, which is why all these other Bibles were, they kind of fell into obscurity. Mm-hmm. However, the Puritans left because they're like, we ain't having none of that.
Yeah.
They took the Geneva Bible and said, this is what we believe is correct. And they shipped over here to the United States, which or the New World as it was to them back then.
Right.
And they used the Geneva Bible and they refused to use the King James.
So that's kind of like the Catholic Church. And what's the other one that's the British version of the Catholic Church? I can't remember the name of it.
Well, the Douay Rheims is the Catholic version. And then they have the Presbyterian Church.
Presbyterian, yeah. Okay.
Which is, for the presbytery. That's another Greek word. Basically, it's a, like a servant, a church.
Yeah.
But now, the servants of church today, bishop and elder and all that. And deacon,
I think I lost interest in that stuff when I lost interest in the royal family, because I could really care less about what they're doing over there. That's just my personal opinion. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
But even way before this, John Wycliffe made one in like 1382 through 95. He was actually writing that book. That one, it was a couple hundred years earlier, but there's just no way in the world you can read that. The English is ridiculous.
Yeah. I can't really imagine. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't even read it. And the spelling, and the earth he clipped in generous tajidi, the waters, the seas. Wait. What?
They obviously didn't have AI
made
back
of
then.
Naught.
Yeah.
Oh, here. Here's the Wycliffe one.
Okay.
In the beginning. Now, he's B-I-G-Y-N-N-Y-N-G. That's beginning. God made of naught heaven, or not even heaven. They didn't have the V back then. It was heaven and earth. So he made naught. He made of naught the heaven and earth.
That's crazy. That's beautiful.
It's cool to have, but... probably not
spend more
read
time
it,
laughing at it than reading it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so along the way, people are like, the King James, and people don't know this either. The 1611 is different than the 1769 version of the King James. They kind of modernized the English, and they took out some words that we're not allowed to say today because they meant to strike.
Yeah.
You strike something. I can't say it because it's a family show, but that's what it meant earlier.
Okay. Okay, I got you. Okay. Now, that's kind of like what Biden did. President Biden called Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a pain in his, you know.
Go ahead. You mean the one who is not competent to stand trial, but competent to be the president?
Right. Okay. That one. Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So the translations, they lose a lot of vim and vigor along the way because now it's the authorized version. This is what you're allowed to read. Okay. Mm-hmm, and this is what we tell you it says.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's why you don't see all of this. That's why you literally have to go back to the original versions and you got to study like Paul did. Even some of the, you know, the ancient rabbis, they got the idea, even though they missed the Messiah, they still got the idea from the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, their Tanakh, about how there's deeper meanings. They believe, just like the 10 dimensions we talked about, they believe there's 10 different levels of meaning within the words because they were literally written by the finger of God.
Right, right.
So if you have that kind of respect for it, you're just going to find these things because he hid them in there on purpose.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Because he said, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and it's the honor of kings to search it out. Isn't that fun and exciting?
Yes. Yes, I like that. Oh. I like king stuff.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not British, I like king stuff.
Right, 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 right. Well, he's going to be the real monarch.
Right.
Because we live in a monarchy, the King Jesus.
Yes.
So if you live with that heart and that mentality of, I really want to know what this says, God will show you. He says, ask of me and I'll show you everything.
Yeah.
But you got to want it. He's not just going to cast his pearls before swine.
Right. Right. And that's something I don't think people understand enough. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, all the time, and I think that you see this as much as I do, I hear people say, well, I asked God for this and I asked God for that and nothing happened. And my question is always, well, when's the last time you asked him for something? Or when is the last time you prayed?
Well, hey, when was the last time you talked to him without asking for something?
I didn't need him then. I need him now.
Yeah.
Are you a Christian? I believe in God. No, well, that's not the question I ask you.
Yeah, so is the devil.
So anyway, you know, a lot of that is another show, David, but it should put some seeds in people's minds as to what will work and what will absolutely never work. Okay, go ahead.
And you can check out, I have a series on generational contracts. And if you listen to that on the YouTube, at Hidden Day on YouTube, you'll find that series.
Can you give that address on that? Is that www.thehiddenday?
It's youtube.com
/
at Hidden Day. Okay. And then you'll get my channel. You can get Generational Contracts, one of the playlists on there. And you will find out exactly why your prayers are not getting answered.
Right.
And you'll know what to do about that.
Amen. Yes, you will. Go ahead, David.
The bottom line is you don't have a relationship with God, and he gave you a contract, and you need to learn how to execute that contract. And that's all over the word, but it's all spelled out there. Right now, we're still on Genesis chapter 1. So along those lines of the translations and all that, people along the way have written commentaries on it. So today I figured let's pull up a couple of these commentaries and see what they have to say about Genesis 1:1 in case we missed anything. Mm-hmm. So the first one that stood out for me is called the Apologetics Study Bible. And I'll just read this verbatim real quick. And it says, the creation story has been interpreted in various ways. Some Christians believe a time gap exists between these verses, with verse 1 referring to God's initial creative act, and verse 2 describing a world plunged into chaos and darkness. So that's where the gap theory comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly through the expulsion of Satan from heaven, only later in the chapter does God choose to create human beings in verse 27. And according to this gap theory, millions of years could have passed between verses 1 and 2. Okay. Now, this is where it struck me, because we did talk about the gap theory, but I want to show you where it came from.
Okay.
So we'll continue with the study Bible and says, using similar logic, the followers of the New Age movement who believe in the existence of a lost continent of Atlantis place the rise and fall of the ancient civilization between verses 1 and 2. Edgar Cayce, known as the Sleeping Prophet, taught that Atlantis existed 10 million years ago and was inhabited by spirit beings. After a cataclysmic destruction, chaos and darkness, the spirits of the inhabitants eventually took up residence in the bodies of Adam and Eve and the others who populated God's new creation in verse 27. Thus, all earthlings originally resided in Atlantis.
I didn't know Joe Biden was around back then. I mean, that's how much sense that makes, right?
Yeah. So that's where this concept of the gap theory came from.
That's crazy.
That's why this struck me. It's like, wait a minute, this gap theory. And here's Christians using it. So if you are a Christian and you're kind of leaning in that direction, I understand your parsing of the language. I understand it says became formless and void. But the word is, it can also be translated equally as it came to be. So when he made it, it was formless and void, not it became after an event.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And it shows that anything goes from chaos to order, it has to be God doing the work. Amen. So when you see entropy, it goes backwards. That is not God.
Right.
So you can't have evolution because it has to be God if it's going from chaos to order. So if you come from a rock, you know, then, or even a fish or a monkey, you're retarded because it can't get better from there. You can't have order out of it unless God is doing it and adding information. Yeah. Okay. So that's what really struck out to me.
I'm not a fan of this gap theory thing. I'm just not.
Yeah. And this is why it's a New Age kind of a thought, which is clearly demonic and evil spiritish. All right. Yeah. So before the first half is out, I want to read these three verses here that also corroborate. Because remember, if we're going to have something, he's going to write it in a few different places. Think of a 3D image, a hologram. A hologram, you can take pieces out and you'll still have a picture of the whole image.
Right.
Okay. That's how God made the Bible, kind of like a 3D hologram.
Okay.
Whereas you can take verses out here and there, but you're still going to have that concept.
Right.
I could take verses out. You could take all the rapture verses out that you see, rip this and that and the other, but the rapture is still in there. You could see salvation. It's still in there. You can see that Jesus is God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you try and take out, which is what the Nestle Hort versions have tried to do, is take out the deity of Christ. That's why I like the Texas Pentecost. It doesn't matter. It's still in there because it's a entwined 3D holographic image. So I always look for the other verses that corroborate the story.
Right.
And just like if you're bringing a case to court, you want corroborating evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I get that. Yeah, the gun was in his car, but what else do you have?
Yeah.
Well, we have the bullets that were on there. We have his fingerprints on the gun. Mm-hmm. We have his phone showing him in that house at that time. So, okay, that's corroborating evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We need that. So we're going to look at Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things, or not made out of things which are visible. So it's made out of things that are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
That's so we have that here. Think that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. So it's implying everything was made out of something invisible, and that would be God's light and word, okay, going forth, and is prepared by the word of God. And we read in John chapter 1, the beginning was the word, the word was with God, and the word was God. So here we got corroborating evidence about the beginning of creation in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
We go to John 1:3-5. That's where we were. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and light shines in the darkness. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Dark light. Mm-hmm. The darkness comprehended it not. So it perceived it. The darkness did not know what to do is really what that means.
Okay.
Okay, because you add light, you're adding light.
Right.
You can't add darkness.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Romans 4:17 is, as it is written, the father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he had believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So of three different angles of corroborating evidence that it was Almighty God that created this, literally out of an invisible stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still don't get how anybody can possibly think that, you know, nothing came about. I mean, I understand evolution. Okay. And people, you know, people jump all over about evolution. Okay. Well, number one, I didn't come from a monkey. I want to make that clear. Now, maybe somebody out there thinks that they did. And if so, well, congratulations. Okay. But, I don't believe that. I do believe that things evolve over time in different ways.
Well, they adapt. So be careful because they try and get you to use that word evolve, but it's really adapt.
Right. You know, and that I believe in. I do not believe in evolution as was described by whatever idiot came up with that.
I get this. Darwin himself did not believe in abiogenesis. Mm. But they don't tell you that. Okay, Darwin himself was like, listen, if anybody finds out this little cell is complicated, my theory's out the window.
Yeah.
And that's what we found in the 50s was it's extremely complicated. It's more complicated than an entire city, and it can replicate itself in like an hour. So, hello.
Yeah, it's an excuse for people not to do what they're supposed to do. That's all it is, honestly.
All right, so take us out of the first half, bro.
All right, well, we are coming to the end of the first half of the show today, and of course, I'm always happy to have David here. He has studied this for over 40 years, and so to be able to pick his mind is a wonderful opportunity, and I hope you guys will take advantage of it each and every week, no matter where you're listening to us. By the way, if you would like to see these in visual form, you can always go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net, and that'll give you the links to get the video form. If you're watching us on YouTube, again, be sure and subscribe to the channel. We want to grow it if we can. We're doing pretty good everywhere else on more than 60 radio stations, no matter what, DB, DAB, internet, shortwave, whatever you want to call them. About 2 million listen to us on each show. So we'd love to have you join us. If you're on a radio station you'd like to have us, well, get in touch. That's office@ustreamit.net. Okay, we will be back with the second half of the show right after a quick break.
From Feature Story News. Who's in London? I'm Julia Chapman. Israel has raided Gaza's largest remaining hospital, where it says Hamas members were hiding, which the group denies. The IDF says several suspects have been arrested during its operation at the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. It comes as Israeli airstrikes are intensifying in and around Rafah in southern Gaza, amid reports displaced Palestinians are beginning to flee the area, which was once declared a safe zone. Sarah Coates has more from Tel Aviv.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is vowing to press ahead with this offensive into Rafah amid widespread international concern for the some 1.5 million displaced Palestinians who are sheltering there. Australia, Canada and New Zealand just the latest to issue a statement saying they're gravely concerned, warning Israel against the offensive, adding a ceasefire is urgently needed.
Ukraine says Russia carried out missile attacks across several regions of the country in the early hours of Thursday. At least 11 people were injured and several homes, schools and other civilian infrastructure was damaged as a result of the strikes. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Air raid sirens blared out across Ukraine in the early hours of Thursday as Russia launched missiles at multiple regions of the country. Ukraine's Air Force said it shot down 13 out of the 26 missiles of various types launched by Russia. The attack hit an industrial area of the southern Zaporizhia region, injuring at least 6 people. In the western city of Lviv, missiles hit an infrastructure facility, and the blast wave damaged apartment buildings, 2 schools, and a kindergarten nearby. Air defense systems were able to shoot down all missiles flying towards Kyiv and the Kyiv region. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
The UK economy is in recession. It's the first time that's happened since the end of the COVID-19 pandemic. Official figures show the economy contracted 0.3% in the final quarter of last year, after GDP fell 0.1% the 3 months before. Stuart Smith reports.
The opposition Labour Party says the Prime Minister's promise to grow the economy is in tatters on the back of this news, but the governing Conservative Party points to previous Bank of England forecasts that the falling growth could have been a lot worse. So Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt says the right response is to stick to the plan of cutting taxes on work and business. The UK economy has stagnated for around 2 years, though the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development predicts growth will be up 0.7% by the end of this year and up by 1.2% by the end of 2025. It says that's better than peers like France and Germany, but worse than predictions for Spain, Canada and Australia. Stuart Smith, London.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
All right, welcome back to the second half. Again, I told you it's not going to be so mind-melting today, so we're having a lot of fun. I know, JD, we were in the first half. We got into a little bit of translation stuff and why this isn't really found in the Bible. And we discovered that, you know, 1500s into the 1600s, they kind of dumbed down the English because they only wanted you to believe so much. But so many people were translating it into English that they had to make their authorized version. Oh, no, no, this is the one that you have to read in the churches. Yeah. It was literally, you would get jailed if you read any other version in the church.
Yeah.
Which is why all the churches have it. Imagine that today.
Here's an off the wall question. You know, I love coming up with off the wall questions. It says in the Bible that, you know, nothing is for private interpretation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how come we've got 5,000 different versions of the Bible?
Well, today it's because of copyright laws and making money.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So they make it and they're like, oh, I could do this. I could do that. It was in the 1800s that you have Nestle's, you got Westcott, you got Hort. You had a bunch of agnostics who claimed to be Greek scholars and said, oh, I'm going to translate this correctly for you.
Yeah,
but the problem was they're Gnostics.
Right.
So they took out the deity of Christ. You'll notice that one thing the King James is Textus Receptus, which is the handed down version. Basically, it's the versions they had from a long time ago. Along the way, people took different verses out. So these translators went back and said, oh, we found this other version, which is older.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the reason it's older is because they threw it out 100 years before this other one. That's why it's older.
Okay. Well, like
because
I said,
it was just
an off the wall question because, you know, I'm always, you know, you've seen me do it on the show. I'll say, you know, well, my interpretation, whoops, I didn't mean to say interpretation, you know, it's my opinion. that's the reason I asked the question. That's the only reason. So, okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a good one. So, and that's, again, that's the reason we go back to corroboration.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We want to interpret the Bible with the Bible.
Yes.
Not with an interpretation. We can look elsewhere to get insights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But ultimately, it's got to pan out in the Word.
Okay.
And that's, we're actually going to do that today. We're going to look into another book for insight, which many actually consider scripture and many don't.
Okay.
So it's really up to you. But if nothing else, it's
your
historical.
Show. It's your show, David. This is your show of the week. You do what you want to do with it, and I'm just going to sit back and learn from you.
Can I sing and dance?
No, you can't do that. It's the only thing I'm going to put on. Okay.
All right. That's it. Ultimate no. No. It's like my buddy asked me last week. He says, listen, can you sing on a hill far away? Well, sure can. Is it good? Then go do it. How about can you sing solo?
Oh,
solo,
boy.
I can't hear you. Oi. So those are my dad jokes. You like them?
Okay. All right. Yeah. We go on with dad jokes for hours. I got a bunch of them. Go ahead.
Thomas L. Constable. So this was interesting to me because this is kind of along the lines of what I did. So these are his notes on the Bible. So I'll kind of read this too.
Okay.
It says verse 2 probably describes what we now call earth before God gave it form and filled it. Okay. I like that. Where's that noise coming from? The here, Earth refers to the whole planet through the same English word, also refers to Earth and the heavens when combined with heaven in verse 1 to dry land. So no clear biblical text testifies to the origins of chaos or of the serpent, nor the reason for their existence. So that's interesting to me because chaos was there. It's just every so it's not, there's no origins of chaos, but we are going to look and see the origins of the Nahash or the serpent, or because that's serpentile, it's a seraphim angel, or and then who we know as Satan today was called Lucifer, because that actually was a good word. It was the bright and shining one, and he was a covering for the throne. He was there to protect things. But then he's like, "Hey, why aren't people worshiping me?" And boom, he was done.
Yeah. Even that before it got out of his mouth, good,
Oh, you thought that? You're done.
Right. So,
but what is the origin of chaos? Well, no, chaos is just there, really. So he talks about that. Then he talks about the deep, which is Tahom that we talked about. It describes the world. The Old Testament Tahom refers to the ocean, or the abyss in the Greek, or abuso, which means without a bottom. Which the ancient world regarded as a symbolic of chaos and evil that needed to be overcoming, and which Yahweh overcame. However, its use in the Pentateuch, the first five books, helps us understand the writer's intent. All right, so he talks about that. He calls the global ocean the deep, and it's not apparent in the English translation as formless, but in the notes, it's wasteland as well. Remember, like the Who, the teenage wasteland?
Okay.
So formless and void gives, what he's saying is it gives the impression of a wasteland.
Okay.
All right. Because Moses uses this term in Deuteronomy 32:10. He says he found him in a desert land and the waste howling wilderness. He led him about and instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. So there it is. The desert waste howling wilderness is the idea of formless in verse 2 that he was talking about. So that's interesting to me.
Yes.
Waters is also capable of being interpreted the same way as the deep. Now, remember when we spoke about the letter Mem and we talked about Shamayim. All right, because and the word with the Greek, the Hebrew pictograms spelled separation of water from water because of the mem. Mem is our M and it symbolizes waves.
Okay.
Also gives the impression of chaos. Like when he says there'd be no more sea in Revelation, he says, oh, I saw the throne, it was crystal, and there'll be no more sea. Well, that's what he meant. There'll be no more chaos. All right. That's what it meant. When he talks about the seas and the nations being chaos, he talks about them being on the seas. So the Hebrew gives the impression of it's chaos. So that's when we see waters as chaos. And that's what he's saying here as well. So this is corroborating evidence for that. And we learned that it was formless and empty. And this was called, see, what another interesting to me is, figures of speech, because I like to say I take the Bible literally. Then people say, oh, what do you mean Jesus was a door? No, that's a figure of speech.
Right.
It literally means, in the metaphorical sense, he is the only way to get to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only door.
Right.
Okay. The entrance way. So, in the fact that we understand metaphors and figures of speech, we understand that the Bible is 100% accurate and literal.
Right.
Where people will still take one verse and they'll say, "Oh, look, that's just an allegory." Well, not necessarily.
Well, because just to jump in and don't lose your thought there, but I want to make this clear. I was taught early on in my Bible study, once I became a Christian for real, not the fake version of me that was early on in my life, that you don't just pick one verse out of the Bible and then throw your own understanding to that. You've got to look at what comes before it, and you got to look at what comes after it for it to really be true and make sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That's all I wanted to say.
Yep. Okay, good. And you do. And you have to have everything in context, and you got to get corroborating evidence. And you got to understand there's over 200 figures of speeches that are used mm-hmm. in the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's how God gets his point across.
Okay. Makes sense.
So while they are literal, there are also figures of speech that are used. So we have to really understand what they are and why. And formless and empty is a figure of speech in the fact that it's called a hendiades. And that one is where you use two separate words with like an and, okay? Mm. Formless and empty.
Okay.
It's two words because it's a more powerful description than it was like, it was just a formless emptiness,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
doesn't have that. It was formless and empty. So it has a bit of an emphasis.
Yeah.
It's like, like good and plenty.
Yeah. Okay.
Andy?
Yeah.
So good and plenty is much more descriptive than goodly plentiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's good and plenty.
Makes sense.
It is formless and empty. So that's what this was a hendiades, and I probably butchered that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it, not me.
Yeah. So we see that as well. And that's what we see from all of these things. Now we're putting these things together, and he was emphasizing that, hey, this was literally completely empty. It had no form. It had nothing. Mm-hmm. All right. It started out as nothing. The chaos that's there. And then he formed it into something.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So we've read Deuteronomy 32:10. Now check this out. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says Yahweh, who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it." So there's a hendiades as well. Mm-hmm. He formed the earth and made it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. Amen. This is our matrix that we exist in. This is where we live. It formed it to be inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The time space continuum. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord and there is none else. And same thing in Jeremiah 4:23, again, corroborating evidence. I looked on the earth and behold, it was formless and void,
mm-hmm.
and to the heavens and they had no light.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Jeremiah
mm-hmm.
kind of giving the same scenario.
Yeah.
There was light to dark. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the darkness was, or darkness to light, mm-hmm. darkness was heard. So that it was formless and void. And there was no light. So he's talking about that same idea again and bringing it. And then, so we see the hendiades playing out there and how it actually really gives a meaning. So therein lies a refutation to abiogenesis and evolution right by itself, because mm-hmm. it could not come from nothing on its own. And they'll say, oh, where did the Big Bang come from? Oh, it was a singularity. A singularity of what?
Of what, yeah.
Exactly. So basically you're saying it was nothing. A singularity mm-hmm. is nothing. So your God is nothing.
Yeah.
Because your God created everything. And then when you die, you go back to being nothing. You go back to your God. So you have a religion. So you think that my idea is dumb, that somebody smart actually designed all this. You're telling me it just designed itself out of nothing.
Yeah, that takes a lot more faith to believe that idiocy than it does to believe in,
it takes in the Almighty God. It takes a special sense of mental retardation to actually believe that. How can you possibly believe that? It came out of nothing.
Yeah.
It's exploded.
Yeah.
First it was nothing, and then it exploded.
Yeah. Nobody's ever going to sell me that.
Yeah. Well, where did God come from? He's eternal. You're not going to understand that. Okay.
Right.
Well, that's your magic sky fairy. Well, you got one. You got nothing. So what's the difference here? Mine just happens to be smart and loves me. Yours is nothing.
Yeah. Mine's real and yours not.
Yeah.
Pretty clean. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out in the end. I said, listen, you're going to die and you're going to face them. Well, you want to take the chance? I mean, if you're right, you got nothing to lose because he's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't
but
risk
they
it.
Still don't. And it all it. Comes back to Romans chapter 1 and 2. And he said he gave them over because they did not want to acknowledge God. Mm-hmm. So he says, I'm going to make these people believe the stupidest things.
Yeah.
That's literally what he's saying in Romans. I gave them up. And they think they're wise, and they're just fools.
Yeah.
You know, because they're making up all this stuff and changing every year. But that's what happened. It's not a matter of understanding. Mm-hmm. So we're like, how could you not understand? No, God blinded them because their heart is evil.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. Because if someone's honest and say, well, I really do want to know if there is a God or if there isn't. I just want to know yes or no, as opposed to I refuse to believe there's a God at all.
It's got to be sincere.
That's what they're doing now.
It has to be sincere, David. They've got to sincerely.
Really,
yeah, right. And if they do that, God will make himself very much visible.
100%.
Yeah.
Because that's precisely what I did.
Right.
I said, okay, listen, I don't know. You tell me. If you're there, prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, meant to, you know, it was a little sarcastic, but it was still sincere.
Still real. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But it's always, always, always the people who just will not acknowledge God. And that's pans out in now what they found, that it's impossible to have abiogenesis, that it had to be created. Mm-hmm. Then they don't go to God. They go to aliens seeded us here. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great
and
old
where
standby.
Did they come
from? Yeah, that's a great standby. Yeah. Well, we're back to the same problem. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right. So we'll move along from that. We'll move right on to references of the Holy Spirit, because that's what we see in verse 2 as well. The Spirit of God hovered upon the waters. So Judaism today doesn't necessarily believe in a Holy Spirit as we think of him as a person. Mm-hmm. As a one of the three Godheads, if you would, that's all one person, but still an individual. They think of it as the power of God moving in a way. So let me read this from here. This is from a Constable as well. He says, some scholars believe that references to the Holy Spirit of God in the Old Testament indicate the power or influence of God, not the third person of the Trinity. Some conservative scholars believe that though the Spirit was really the third person of the Trinity, people living during the Old Testament period did not associate the Spirit with God himself. They thought the Spirit as a power or influence of God. However, there are several indications in the Old Testament that inform the Israelites identified the Spirit as God. So we're going to look at those real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 104:30, it says, you send forth your Spirit and they are created. You renew the face of the ground. So that implies it's a person.
Right.
You send forth your Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then Ezekiel 3:11, then the Spirit lifted me up. So it has to be a person.
Yeah.
And I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And then we move to Isaiah 61, all wonderful chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because this is what Jesus quoted. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So he has to be a person to be upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Mm-hmm. And in Zechariah. 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is cool in the fact that there are some verses that kind of indicate that the writers, at least here, believed it was the person.
Right.
And then it says, and then there's another verse which I don't have on here, says, who is God and who is his son, if you can tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So that indicates the son. And then we read, you know, Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
We read all about him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one that the Jews don't read, right?
Yeah, they eliminated it. They took it out of the Bible.
Don't know how that works.
He didn't really write that. No, that's it.
Yeah, that's hard for me to buy. It really is. But, you know, like, as you said, they're blinded. And the blinders will come off. And unfortunately, they got to go through 3.5 horrendous years before that happens.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's what is written. So
yes,
it essentially happened already.
Yes.
So Constable also talks about Moses pictured the spirit as a wind. And the word is the same in the Hebrew, ruach. Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. Ruach. So the words are identical in the Hebrew, moving over the unorganized creation. So here we have God, the Holy Spirit, brooding over the water. So he's like a chicken would like cover the water. So he's giving it his protection. He's in mm-hmm. there. He's mm-hmm. encouraging it along. Okay. And that's when he said, let light, you know, light. He used light to do this mm-hmm. is basically what he's saying. He used light to do all this stuff. So here comes Father God's overseeing this, the light, you know, that's Jesus. So the light is into the world and the Holy Spirit's hovering on. We see the Trinity right in the beginning.
Right.
Of everything there. So that's pretty cool. And then he said, God did his work of creating by means of his spirit. So believers are to do the work by his spirit. And that we see, we already read Zechariah. and then we got Romans 8. Oh, where did it go? I lost Romans 8. Okay, Romans 8 and Ephesians 5:18. But basically, hitherto, all is static, lifeless, and mobile. Motion, which is the essential element change, originates with God's dynamic presence. Mm-hmm. So he wrote that. Pretty powerful statement. And what I'd like to do to wrap up Constable, it's really interesting because he has the same idea that I had. And this was, you know, a few years ago.
So just a couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So check this out. Thomas L. Constable, verse 2 seems to me, this is him speaking, seems to me to describe conditions that existed before God created the earth. Whereas verse 1 explains the creation of the universe, verse 2 pictures its pre-creation condition, verse 3 explain the process of creation by which God formed that was what was formless and void and filled what was void. That what was formless and filled what was void. Okay. Verses 3 all the way to 31 explain the process of creation by which God formed what was formless and filled what was void. That's what I've been saying the whole time. That's why how I read it in the Hebrew. While beginning to create the heavens and earth, he's laying out the synopsis here, and everything was formless and void, and then spirit brood on the water. He said he used light. He said, let there be light, and that's what formed all these things.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's saying here. Verse 3, this is how he did what I just told you in verses 1 and 2.
And it makes perfect sense to me. As a matter of fact, I agreed with every word you were saying. So, I mean, that is exactly what Genesis says, and you have gone even deeper in the study so far, and that's the reason I encourage people to listen every week, because you do go deeper than anything that they're going to hear in their church. And I'm not saying don't go to your church, don't listen to your minister. I'm just saying join us here because David's going to fill in all the gaps for you. That's basically what
I'm
saying.
Actually, give him all the teachings. Tell him he can use them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't invent it.
Right.
I'm just telling you what it says.
There you go.
And anybody, all he is, anybody out there, if you really want to, you can go look this stuff up yourself. I've just been doing it for so long that it's all like stuck in my head. So
yeah.
You do it for this long, it'll be stuck in your head too. Nothing really special. So I want to wrap this up. We got a couple minutes left, and let's do some corroborating evidence in the Book of Jubilees.
Okay.
Again, not in our official canon for the Western Church, but there are groups and people who believe that should be part of Scripture. So we're just going to leave that there, and I'm going to read it.
Okay.
So Jubilees chapter 2, and it says, "And the angel of the presence spake to Moses according to the word of the Lord, saying, write the complete history of the creation, how in 6 days the Lord God finished all his works and all that he created, and kept the Sabbath on the seventh day and hallowed it for all ages. That's important for today. Mm-hmm. And appointed it as a sign for all his works. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. interesting to me.
Yes.
Because we see the seven in Daniel, and that's where we're going to get, you know, the 70th week. That's mm-hmm. Shavua.
Right.
Okay, that's where we're going to see that. We're going to see the 7,000th year, the millennium, we call it. That is, again, for all ages, and appointed a sign for all his works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything that his works have to do with have a seven in them. The seven seals, the seven bowls, the seven trumpets, everything. It's a Shavua.
Yeah,
focus on the seven.
Perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's powerful that he says that here.
Yeah.
And then for on the first day, this is verse 2, for on the first day he created the heavens which are above and the earth and the waters and all the spirits which serve before him. Interesting. The first day he created all the angels, mm-hmm. the angels of the presence, the mm-hmm. angels of sanctification, the angels of the spirit of fire, and of the angels of the spirit of the winds, and the angels of the spirits of the clouds, and of darkness, and of snow, and of hail, and of frost, and the angels of the voices, and the angels of thunder, and of the lightning, and the angels of the spirit of cold and heat, and of winter and spring and autumn and summer, and all the spirits of his creatures, which are in the heavens and on the earth, he created the abyss and the darkness, eventide and night, and the light, dawn and day, which he had prepared in the knowledge of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay. I know what's coming day. Next is what he's saying. I know yeah. what's happening. I know where this is going. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is powerful. He created the whole time space continuum right there on day one.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jubilees lays it out. Like yeah. we see, oh, he created the heavens and the earth. Well, Jubilees is a, by the way, this is what that means.
Right.
Okay. And you'll see that all through Jubilees. Yeah. Every one of the stories. Oh, by the way, there were giants. Yeah. Okay. Jubilees.
Yeah.
Oh, and Joseph, he was thrown in a pit. Okay. It's a whole story. It is the expanded version of Genesis.
Yeah.
You really got to read Jubilees and you'll be totally surprised.
Let me ask you, I've got to ask this, and we're at the end here, but mm-hmm. is there anything in the Jubilees that people should say, no, just forget that?
Or some of the dates, actually the dates got kind of askew, but that's attributed to translation errors in the way they used letters for numbers back then.
Okay.
So some of the dates are off, but at the end they come back together. So that would be the only thing. Hey, be careful with the actual dates.
Okay. Yeah. I want just for those people out there that, you know, are bound to the King James Version or the New King James Version that I read or whatever version that they read, I just want to make sure that, you know, it's not something where they yell sacrilege, you know, something like that. So
Look at it as a history book.
Okay. All right. Well, we are at the end of this edition, and we do this every week. It's a weekly comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton. And David, real quick, before we get out of here, give them your website address where they can go and see you and write you if necessary.
TheHiddenDay.com.
Easy.
TheHiddenDay.com.
That is easy. Okay, we will be back with our week in review, and that comes up, of course, our end of the week show. Look forward to seeing you then. If we're still around and the rapture hadn't happened, if it has, yeah, well, watch the show. See you later. We're out.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.